Hang me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to you, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace of I first believed.
Man, it's good to see each one of you out this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation's the sixth chapter, we'll read verse 9 through 11. It's good to see all of you. Remember, pray one for another. It's good to see Brother Hantus and them with us. Just asking him if he's not tied up tonight. Would you speak for us? Are you tied up? Yeah. Lord willing, Brother Hansen will be speaking for us tonight, okay? We've been working a lot lately, and sometimes your body gets tired and you need a rest spiritually and physically. And I say this much, I've enjoyed the questions and answers, and I'd just like for you to consider one point. I had four questions handed to me this morning, and three of the questions fit in this message right to the letter of what I was going to speak on, and then one of the questions would fit in the next message. I mean, right, I don't have to rearrange nothing. I just wrote the question in the into the message because I don't have to change nothing. It's right on the very point. So just maybe we need to consider that, but the questions and answers kind of helped me because it kind of gave me a little relax, you know, to not having to dispound. And sometimes you can't do that. I knew some of the things I wanted to speak on the fifth seal, but sometimes it's just better to wait and then let the Lord put together the things, and then you can see it. And one day, I believe it was this past week, something came to me there of the fifth seal, so I just put down a few thoughts in my mind and held on to it for a while, and it fits right together and goes with it. But let's just read the fifth seal now. From Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace, and we ask you, Lord, that you would just grant understanding unto us. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, thank you for people that have their thoughts in the right channel, that they could ask questions that you'd be dealing with us to speak about, Lord, because in that we know the Holy Spirit's leading and He can answer questions. Then whatever we have, whatever the desires of our heart is, you'll grant it. Lead us by your loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just might comment something about that. Brother Addison, he and I were talking work one day this week, all of us there at lunch, and we were discussing how that sometimes somebody would ask you a question that would, you know, some people don't want questions asked. I mean, we see that. We see it around the ministers' meetings and things like that. You start asking a man a question that messes him up. And we were talking about something that had happened recently, and I just told him, I said, well, I'll just tell you what I think. And I went down the line showing him what I thought and quoting from the prophets, you know, what he had said about like cornerstone and headstone and all things like that, and how they just fit together, and how the cornerstone became the headstone, and all, you know, and how it would fit and come down to the end time and all the way through. And when I got through, I said, now, I said, ask me any question you want to ask me. I said, now, the Holy Spirit's here, because I could feel him right there, you know. I said, he's here. Now, you ask any question you want to. I said, if I don't know the answer, I'll just tell you I don't know the answer. But I said, the Holy Spirit's here, and you just ask any question that you want to ask on anything I've just said, and let's see if he'll answer your question. Well, see, that's the kind of God I believe in. I'm not worried when I'm standing up, ministers meeting, or anywhere, to speak what I believe and show what I believe in the message and speak it. And then if anybody, I say, now ask me any question you want to ask me about it. You know, tricky questions or whatever you want to do, because if I don't know the answer to the question, I'll do this like I told you the other day when we started on the questions and answers. I'll just say, I don't know. You know. See, that's the best way to answer a man's question. I'll just answer you that way. I say, I don't know. And then we'll just go on to another question, you know. But I don't worry about the question, because God will answer the question. If you've got a question on your mind, he'll answer it. Well, see, that's when the question was handed this morning. I just wrote down the questions, just put them in the sermon, and it just fit right together, because the very notes that I've got on the page coming down, I'll just read the notes this way. Notice the first four seals covers the entire journey of man and shows what happens even after the rapture of the church, because we saw Armageddon and how it would be a literal battle at the end of the tribulation. And the question was asked, are we under a seal? What seal? Well, see, that'd be very easy to answer then, because right there is the very thing written in the notes. Then you come on later and say, well, the other one question was, when will the seventh seal be revealed? Now, I'm not trying to interpret where they say seventh seal or seven seal. That doesn't matter, because it's being revealed now, see. So that just answers right, and watch it when it comes right through the message now and comes right to that point. And one of them says, when God leaves in mercy seat, what will happen? Brother Ryan said he comes down here. See, we'll get to that in just a minute. But it just, three of them just fits in this one. I already got notes written for the next message. And it says, how can the seals help us? Well, see, if we'll watch, the very answer to the questions already in the message then. Well, then the Holy Spirit's dealing, showing that he can answer any question we've got. Because I'm not a prophet. I'm not like Brother Branham that could sit down and write out your questions and answers before you turned them in. You know, he could do that. You remember that time the man or somebody came to him, you know, and he didn't have time to answer their question. The Holy Spirit had already showed him. He wrote the question and wrote the answer. He just gave the man the piece of paper. He said, here's your questions and here's your answers. Man hadn't even told him what the questions were. He said, I don't have time to answer them. Here's your question, here's your answer. The Holy Spirit had done reveal both of them to him. But I appreciate the Holy Spirit that can answer or put down on notes in the minister's message something that when a question's asked is right to the point. The answer to the question. Well, then I believe the Holy Spirit's dealing with us, don't you? I believe he's working in his church. I believe he's getting everything just right, putting every little place in. But see, that's one thing I say to you. I remember one time a man years ago, somebody asked him some questions. When he come out, he said, don't ask me no questions now. Said, I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And said, I don't want you to ask me no questions. Well, my Lord, if I ever want you to ask me a question, it's when I'm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's when I want you to ask me, because he can answer it then. If I ain't under that anointing, you might get my answer to it. But if I'm under it, you'll get his answer. See, that's when I want the questions asked, and that's the way I appreciate the Lord. But just think about it now. People are looking all over the world, they're looking for signs and wonders and things to happen. And God just does it in simplicity and will move his church right on off the earth and be gone. And they'll still be looking for it and still be searching for it. And God's done it, and it's done gone. So we better consider things. Let's just think now. Let's go back, and just because I've got it on here, let's just review up to where we are a little bit about the seals, and then maybe we can kind of pick up some thoughts on it. But in our last messages, I'm talking about back before the questions and answers, and just show you how the Lord will deal another way. The questions and answers, the first ones that our sister had, was on justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Brother Woodby's boy, Jack, and another brother up there had just repented and wanted to be baptized and were last Sunday. I was talking to Brother Woodby this morning on the phone, and he said, I'm going to give Jack and them these tapes on questions and answers for them to listen to it. Said, because Jack's got some thoughts or some, you know, he's wondering about some things about that he couldn't understand, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to just give him these tapes. Well, see, I believe the Lord's leading us. I don't believe there's nothing out of cater. I think everything's right on time. And he's leading us and guiding us, and he'll bring us to a place to where we're supposed to be. But let's just think now. What have we been covering for a while? The question was, are we under a seal or what seal? All right, now just think back now to where that we've been studying in our message, you know, back yonder on the teaching of the seals. The first seal, now this is something that will go in the next message, but if you'll get the point, then the next message will be very easy for me to preach. But I could see it last night, just go all the way through, and I picked right up on the unveiling of God and read on it, and it just goes right on through the message. I could put what I saw the other day with every message that you want to put it with, it can be put with it. But I'll ask you a question. One seal ties the entire Bible together. Now that's what the prophet said on the seal book. He said one seal will tie the entire Bible together. All right, then if one seal will tie the entire Bible together, then it would be one seal would have the entire Bible in it. You know, this would be one seal would be this entire Bible. If it'll tie the entire Bible together, that entire Bible's covered in one seal. You understand what I'm saying that way? Then why would it be, why wouldn't God, when he would begin to show the seals to the prophet to preach them to us, why didn't he go to Genesis to start? Why did he go to the first church age to start the seal? You know, that's where he started it at. I mean, if you'd like it, I know one in my mind is 125 of the seal book where he says the actors of the seals begin in the first church age. Well, now, why would he go to that place? I won't cover that this morning, but I want you to think on, why would he go to that place to start speaking on the seals? Why didn't he go to Genesis and say, we'll start right here in Genesis 1 because it'll tie every scripture together? Or Revelations 22 over there, the last verse of it, or 21, 22, or what it is, the last verse. But yet he started for a reason in the church ages. Alright, then just think now. The first four seals, now you think on that and keep it on your mind until later on and ponder in your mind. Consider the point and ask yourself the question, why didn't he start in Genesis 1? You know, why did he wait until the church ages to start speaking about the seals, you know, to show it to him? There's a reason for that. But just think now, the first four seals, and what's the question now, what seal are we under? The first four seals covers the entire journey of man. From the very beginning in Genesis. Now it just shows it to you in the church ages and comes down with it. But the first four seals covers the entire journey of man upon the earth. because it goes all the way back, and when you got to the fourth seal, if you've read it over and over enough to catch it, the prophet said that the battle began in heaven, came down to earth, and started there, because we tied together then, if you remember, the greatest battle ever fought, together with the fourth seal, to show you the battle began in heaven. And when that battle began in heaven, then it came down to earth and become earthly battles. And he'd been battling ever since. All right, then your deeds of the Nicolaitans that showed in the first church age, you can go all the way back up to heaven with that deeds, because that's what Satan started off with. Just a little saying in heaven, see. The angels begin to say, oh, ain't he a little prettier than God? Don't he handle himself a little better? And the first thing you know, it all built up, and they was cast out. But see, the first four seals covers that entire journey of man upon the earth, and ends in Armageddon being the fourth seal. Now, I'll just say it this way to you. That's what I can see, and that's what I'll read to you in a little bit. Because it shows the end of the Antichrist, it shows the end of the church age. The first four seals. The fifth seal sold on the altar, that's a heavenly scene. It shows the Jews that are redeemed under the time of the first four seals. And what you'll see in your picture. The sixth seal is the tribulation period. That happens under the time-wise of the fourth seal. So the answer to the question is, what seal are we under? Time-wise, you know, what it would reveal time-wise, we're under the fourth seal. Because you don't go any further in time-wise. That's as far as you go in time-wise. Because the fourth seal shows you all the way to the rapture of the church, and then shows on from there, on to the Jews, and how that they are redeemed in the tribulation period, and then shows on to the Armageddon that ends it just prior to the millennial reign, the last battle before the millennium comes in. So the entire journey of man, as far as the Antichrist and things being done, is revealed in the first four seals. I'll read you these in a minute. But now, what would place us where we are? See, that seal has to have something to do with you. See, it would have to be something dealing with me and you. So then we'll have to cover that point, see, to where we can see that, what it deals with us, because that was one of the questions. But now, you just think now. We covered the first seal and how the white horse rider went riding out. And then we covered the second seal, how that it went from that mystery of iniquity, the man of sin being revealed, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God. We went from there over into the second seal and saw that how that began to come more into a greater force. And when it did, you see a false prophet come up. Second seal. Red horse. See, same rider for each seal, but it's four stages of Satan's ministry. Alright, then that's all it reveals there. There's no more revealed in the first four stages, you know, them stages of Satan's ministry. Because the last stage of Satan's ministry, see, the third stage goes over and shows the dark ages and how that Satan become incarnate in the Pope back there. I didn't say beast now, because that's later. But he become incarnate, the prophet used the word incarnate, in the Pope and became head of heaven, earth, and purgatory. See, ruling the triple ruling crown. Then your fourth stage goes on to the beast, which is Satan incarnate in the beast in the tribulation after the church is gone. All right, then the first four seals covers the entire journey of man. Now, that's revealing of what the Antichrist is. Watch how very closely worded the prophet when we read him in a few minutes. I want to just speak on him and then read it to you. Watch how closely he states it. He says this shows the end, the fourth seal, shows the end of the Antichrist and his ride. Also, it shows the church and its end. Now what? But he didn't say it ended the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ever noticed him? He didn't say that. He said it ended the revelation of the Antichrist. It ends the church ages, talking about the first four seals, see, show the ending of the Antichrist. And it shows the ending of the church ages. It shows all of that, but he didn't say it showed the ending of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because there's seven seals to the Bible, and the seventh seal shows the mystery of Jesus Christ. So you have a fifth, sixth, and seventh seal mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ that you would have to catch, because it's seven seal mystery, not just four seal mystery. But see, as far as the entire journey of man, the Antichrist and his rides and things and what he's doing, it's revealed in the first four seals, because the first shows the Antichrist, how he comes in, becomes a mystery of iniquity. Second shows where that he goes from that to a false prophet. The next one shows from that to an incarnate false prophet, heaven, earth, and purgatory ruling over it, triple ruling crown. And then the fourth seal shows the beast, where Satan ends up at over there, in the beast, Satan incarnate, then in the beast. To where, as I said the other day, not just in the Pope. It'll be in all the people then. Not just the Pope. Pope's just a figurehead. He's just a main demon, you might call him, when it comes to that place. A head man, a ruler himself. But the beast will be in all the people there that have turned down the mark of the beast. I mean, the seal of God. They'll take the mark of the beast. Even the foolish virgin will have the mark of the beast on her, and she has to come away from it and give her life. Because if you don't have the seal of God, you got the mark of the beast. So the foolish virgin would have to have the mark of the beast on her. But then she sees it. Even Israel as a nation will have it on them. Then they see it and they come away from it. All right? Because you've either got the seal of God or the mark of the beast. There's no in between the two. Then, seeing it that way, we can see that God does something, as we'll cover in a minute. Read. He does something. While that Antichrist is coming through his four stages, God comes through four stages also as the combat beast to combat the Antichrist and his right. So then the first four seals shows the entire journey of that Antichrist. It shows the church ages as they come to an end. Shows where we go in the rapture at, and we'll have to go in the rapture now on the fourth seal. So you say, what seal are we under? If you're saying a time-wise of a seal, you know. We're under the time-wise, or time element, you might call it, of the fourth seal. Seal number four. Now, a seal will tie the entire Bible together, and a seal is the Holy Spirit, so you'll have to tie that in there to see it, but as far as time-wise elements of the earth, you know, that we're in it right now, we're in the time element of the fourth seal. Because the rapture comes on the fourth seal. Now, what's that proved in a minute? I like the way God does something. He never leaves you dangling. He always, as I said when I started, if you've got a question, He'll answer that question. If you've got something that you wondering about, seeking God about, He'll answer that question. But now, we might have to wait. We might have to search. Might have to do a lot of praying. But God will answer every question we've got. See, then you know what a lot of people say when you say that? They'll remember Brother Branham said one time, watch that man's got the question, answered all questions. I didn't say I had to answer to all questions. I said God's got it. I don't have the answer to everyone. And when I don't have it, I'll just tell you. Brother Colley said something to me the other day in a question, and I tried to answer it the best I could, which I hit what he was talking about. Because, you know, sometimes, like I read that question there, one of them says the seven seal. Well, it didn't say seventh or seven seals. See, it didn't go neither way. I said, I'll just take it all the way. It don't make no difference. But when I took the question that was asked, Brother Colley asked the question, I picked out what he was talking about, knowing him. And I hit it right on the button that he wanted to know something about Armageddon. My wife, she said, well, maybe he's meaning where's the bride at while Armageddon's happening down here, you know. But I asked him, and that wasn't what he was wanting to know, but I told him in. I said, I'm glad it wasn't, because I couldn't explain that exactly, you know. I could quote you a few things and give you a pretty good idea of what it was, but I don't know, because it looks like one time you're coming back this way, and it looks like one time you're staying up there, and it looks like, I just tell you, I don't know. When the Lord reveals that rightly to me, I see some of it. I could preach you my opinion of it, but that wouldn't be worth 2 cents. When the Lord reveals it to me, I'll preach to you what I believe about it then. But see, then we don't have the answer, but I know a God has got the answer. See, then what seal are we under time element-wise? We're under the fourth seal. Now, then God wouldn't just leave us to opinions. You could say, well, Brother Dale, my opinion is that you give your opinion. You know, you said that we're in the fourth seal time element-wise, and my opinion is that we're in the fifth seal time element-wise. And there's a brother that I have in mind, his opinion is that we're now in the seventh seal time element-wise. Because he believes 1 year is a seal coming down from 77 through 84. Or through 83, and then you go in the rapture in 84. Well, now maybe he knows what he's talking about. I don't. See. If he hears this tape, I'm just telling him what I believe about. I don't understand what he's talking about. Because time element, see, you could pick up. Now, let's just give you an illustration, because when a man's got the answer to the question, he'll take any question you got and not worry about it. You'd say, well, we're under the fifth seal time element-wise, because the Jews are being killed, and they're going to be under the altar there. Now, that's sensible, but it ain't true. That won't prove no point. But when you read what the prophet said and see it in the Scripture, you can prove the rapture comes on the fourth seal. You've got to have proof that it comes there, or it's just your opinion. And you can quote all day long that the rapture comes on the fourth seal and still not know what you're talking about. Because you can just find where the prophet said it and just quote it. Well, let's just think about it now. Where's the proof that the rapture comes on the fourth seal? Where's the proof that we don't go no further than the fourth seal in time element-wise, talking about the church now? Not talking about Israel, you know, because that's they go on past us. We're talking about us today. They go on past us, but it'll still be just the time element-wise of the fourth seal to them. Where's the proof now that we're not going any further? Where's the proof the rapture's coming on this fourth seal? Because what the fifth seal starts off saying. Now there's got to be proof in that seal to show you that the rapture has already transpired to the church. All right, now if we'll look at it rightly then, if we'll try to understand what God has said through the prophet, and watch the wording now. Not try to figure out what he's saying. Now, not try to interpret what he's saying. We're told not to do that. We have been warned over and over not to try to interpret the Scriptures or the message. Is that correct? All right, then let's don't try to interpret it. Let's just read the message, and what he says will be the interpretation of it. See, I remember the first time we run into Brother Woodby and them, some brothers had this other brother's interpretation of how that the 144,000 would not be killed in the tribulation. Well, I'm sure he had quotations and scriptures and things that he had read. But yet the prophet says on the seal book, and I gave them to him that night, it's in there if you'd like me to find them for you, and the scripture says that they would be killed. Well, now, I don't have to interpret that. Anything outside of that would be my own interpretation. I don't care how good it sounds or whatever it says, because it says right here that they'll be their brethren that should be killed as they were killed should be fulfilled. That settles that to me then, the 144,000 to be killed, because that's who you're talking about, part of them connected under this fifth seal. Well, that settles that for me, see. That's the interpretation. I don't need to interpret it. It's already interpreted. That's it. When the prophet said it, that's it. That settles it. See, we get down and we say, don't try to interpret that. Well, then when we do, we turn around and interpret it. And then when we do, somebody asks you a question or say something around you, we blow up, and then when we do, we find out that the other person knows. We just know all about it right then. I was making a statement there to Brother Addison one day at work. I'm honest, I didn't even think about the brother that was right there pretty close to us, but I said it for his benefit. He belongs to a denominational church. He's a preacher, a pastor of one, as a matter of fact. But I said, we're talking about there was no denominations in the Bible. There's not a denomination nowhere in the Bible. You might find it over Revelation 17, the home of the whore and harlot daughters. But there's not a denomination in the Bible, whether you want to call it, and this is what I was referring to, if you want to call it Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, or Branhamites. There's no such thing as a denomination in the Bible, and that's what I was talking to him about. I said, like the Church of God. There's no such thing as the Church of God denomination in the Bible. Well, that boy ought to be a Church of God. He got mad at me. He came back the next day all stewed and fussing, and man, he had fire in his eyes. I heard from two people that he was mad enough to whoop me. Well, you know what happened? The Word brought out that he was a Church of God denomination. He wouldn't have got mad if he hadn't. He said, told me, I didn't like what you said. I said, well, I'm sorry if I offended you. I said, I apologize, I offended you, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. But I said, I didn't even have you in mind. I didn't even think you was a member of the Church of God. I thought you was a oneness or something, you know, not a oneness, but an assembly. He said, no, I'm Church of God. I said, well, I didn't know you was Church of God. I maybe had heard it and something like that, but I didn't even think about it. But I said, I'm just saying that just like I'd say there ain't no Branhamites in the Bible. You know where you mess up when you say, boy, we're Branhamites. We're Branhamites. You know, Israel was just plain old Israel in the Bible. And all around them you had the Jebusites and the Moabites and the Hittites and this Perizzites and all kind of ites, wasn't it? You know where Israel messed up? When they wanted to become Israelites. There was Israel to start with. It was God's chosen people. Why didn't they stay that way? When they wanted to be like everybody else and have an ite put on the end of it, I don't like to be called a Branhamite. For that specific purpose, I don't want to be called a Branhamite. Because the ite's on the end of it. If you'll call me a Branham, I might talk with you. But I'm not a Branham, and everybody knows that. But don't call me a Branhamite. Because an Israelite is when Israel got in trouble wanting to be like the other ites around them. You know. But now just think. We've got to have proof now. Not just our thoughts, our ideas, our opinions. We've got to have proof that the rapture comes on the fourth seal. And God will not leave us without proof. So if we'll look at the fifth seal, Revelation, we should know enough by the fourth seal Revelation to know it comes on that, because we've already preached enough of them. But look at the fifth seal Revelation, and you'll see proof that the rapture has already come to the church at the time this seal in its breaking to show what it reveals happens. I ain't talking about when it breaks the prophet. I'm talking about when it breaks to show what it reveals. When it breaks one of these days and shows the souls on the altar, you know, and they're there. Because at now, they're still going there. So it ain't broke yet, that way. All right, just think now. First off, it shows a heavenly scene. Reading of the fifth seal, you find nothing there talking about an earthly scene in the order for us, the bride, now. You see a heavenly scene. You see souls under the altar. And you see them crying, how long, how long? Then you see a voice speaking back to them and telling them they must rest until their fellow brethren, the 144,000, are killed. All right? Then that right there is proof of it. And in the next message we study on, you'll see that right there is a great mystery. That it's a heavenly scene. There's a mystery goes with that. And we'll catch it, the Lord willing. But let's just cover one thing now. You've read the seal book. You've heard the prophet enough and all. And I'll read some of it to you and some of you I won't. I'll just speak on it. But just to get you to think about it. Now, there's proof there. Just like I said one day, I said, there's proof in the Bible that you can be born again. There's proof there. That the seventh seal will prove to you your new birth was right. See, when the seal opens, that proves your birth is right. That proves you was born again. All right, then there's proof throughout the Bible of everything. Well, then there's got to be proof there that the rapture comes on the fourth seal. Now, let's just watch it now and read the scripture. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, and he goes on down top. On each one of the seals prior to then, when the first seal opened, what happened? The first beast said what? Come and see. Second seal opened. What? A combat beast came out and said, come and see. Third seal, when it opened, a combat beast come out and said, come and see. Showing something was happening on the earth. Fourth seal opened. Combat beast came out and said, come and see. But when you come to the fifth seal, no combat beast. No combat beast to tell you. That right there in itself is proof the rapture comes on the fourth thing. Because there's no combat beast. The combat beast deals with what's happening upon the earth. Well, let's just cover these for a minute. It deals with what's happening on the earth. You know these by heart. Most of you would. But 345. Let's just start there in 346. He said, I love this. As in the times of the riders of the four, the riders singled of the four different powers, there was a beast that announced the power. Every time the rider straddled another horse and come forth to ride, another kind of beast come out and announced it. That's a great mystery. That is the mystery. Now, listen to it. 345 down about two paragraphs from the bottom is where we'll be at. Why isn't there one here on the fifth seal to announce it? Why isn't there a combat beast here on the fifth seal to announce it? Here it is. According to the revelation that the Lord Jesus gave me today, or this morning early, that is that the mystery of the church ages are already finished at this time. What was we covering a while ago? First four seals covers the church ages. The mystery of the Antichrist is revealed at this time. Now, the mystery of the church ages is revealed. Already been revealed under the first four seals. The mystery of the Antichrist has already been revealed in the first four seals. All right, then we don't have to worry. We know there's proof right there. There's no combat beast. Now watch him go on and say that as we get to it. The Antichrist took his ride. We find him on the pale horse mixed with many colors and rides all the way into perdition. We get it on the trumpets and so forth when we teach that. I'd go into it now, but we'd get plumb off the subject again. And then they go, he rides. That's the reason there's no one there. Now watch, that's the reason there's no one there. There's no combat beast, in other words. Now we know written caused some reason for something. Now you remember at the first beginning I said there can't be nothing without a reason. Remember the little drop of ink? Now you've got to find a reason. There was some reason they didn't have to have a beast or a power to announce this seal being broke. And only God can reveal why. Now watch. As I read on that page now, he says the Antichrist comes to an end. And the church ages comes to an end. Now watch this thing. But the reason he reveals is I understand that it is because the mystery of the book of redemption, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, and at the same time, the church is gone. And these things don't even happen in the church ages at all. That's right, they're away from the church age. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. The church goes up, watch now, in the fourth chapter of Revelation. You remember John when he was taken up, and the door set was open in heaven and said, come up, fourth chapter of Revelation, verse 1. That's when the rapture of the church transpires. Because you just got seven church ages written in Revelations 2 and 3. And when it comes to an end, John goes up representing the church. We've come through seven church ages, which is covered by four seals. Up goes the church in the rapture. Does not return until it comes back with its king in the 19th chapter. But these seals are revealing what has been, what is, and what will be. And now what was to be for the church age was revealed by these seals. And now watch what takes it. The four stages of his rider has been revealed. The four stages of the Antichrist riding has been revealed at this time. Therefore, they don't have to have any more. And there was four living creatures of God to announce the rider as they rode. Four beasts are four powers. Now, there's one over here that just keeps coming to my mind, so I'll just try to pick it up. 534, the seal book. Middle of the page. Now remember, after the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is gone. After the four horse riders has went out, the church is gone. Everything that happened to the church happened up to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelations. Everything that happened in the Antichrist move went up to the fourth chapter and the fourth seal of Revelation. Both for Antichrist and Christ ended up in Antichrist come to his doom with his army, and Christ comes with his army. All right, now, that right there is enough to show us, isn't it? There's no combat beast when you come to the fifth seal. So the church is done gone. Church can't stay here without a combat beast. If there's not a combat beast, the church can't stay on the earth. Because the combat beast is the Spirit of God among the people. Not just a prophet or this or that or the other. See, as I've said many, many times, hoping you'll finally see it, or maybe I will, that you say, first combat beast, that's a lion. They say, well, that's among the people. I can see that out there. Second combat beast, that's an ox. They can see that among all the people. They don't try to make it just one man. Then they'll see the third one, which is the man, and they won't try to make that just one man, you know, or two men. But then when you come to the combat beast of the eagle, they say, eagle, that's Brother Branham. He was the combat beast. I thought the eagle was God. I didn't know Brother Branham was God. You'd be surprised how many people believe he was and just don't want to preach it. I thought Brother Branham was a man. I thought the eagle was God. The combat beast. Then in this age of the eagle, is among the people. What about in a minute now when I get where he says, when the eagles, plural. And I checked it on the tape to make sure he said eagles. He said, when the eagles come. Everybody in the world got eagles over the front door just about. even sinners, because the age of the eagles is here. But now just think now. There's no combat beast, so the church has to be gone. If there was a combat beast standing there, the church would be represented as there. But she's not represented as there on the field. She's represented on the first as the line, the word. That's covered on 349 and 350 of the seal book. You read it. Where he says the pure unadulterated word wrote out and met against that. Let's just read 349 though. So you'll see what the combat beast is. Notice, middle of the page, as the Antichrist went forth on his beast of ministry, God sent forth a beast to combat it. Now watch. Then every time the beast rode on his horse, the Antichrist rode on his horse and on his beast. Watch. To announce his ministry, God sent his beast also in his own mask to announce his combat to it. That's his own mask. Changing his mask. What? Lion. Changed his mask. What was he next? Ox. Changed his mask. What? Man. Changed his mask. What? Eagle. See, changing his mask to announce the combat to it. Now the scripture says, and this is Isaiah 59 and 19 if you'd like to read it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. And so when the enemy went out as an antichrist, God sent a certain type of power out to meet him. And then when he went out again as a red horse, another color, another power, another ministry, God sent another one after him to combat it, to hold his church. Sent the third, again God sent his third beast to come and announce it. He sent the fourth, and God sent his fourth, and then the antichrist ended, and the church ages ended too at that time. See, that's why that combat beast on that church here in the end time just goes right on from us, right on through them two witnesses and those 144,000, and they combat that beast. Don't just end with us. It goes right on there. But see, that's all under the fourth seal. But now, let me just more or less quote it to you and go down the pages, and then you read it when you get home. He says that word. When the Antichrist wrote in his teaching ministry, this is 350, God sent out a lion. You remember we've studied them over and over and over, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. You go back to Ezekiel and read Ezekiel, where Ezekiel finally saw the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And when Ezekiel saw it back there, you that have been with us long enough to know about the combat beast, if you ain't, or the ones that don't know, go back and read Ezekiel 1. That even natural man thinks he saw a spaceship as it went flying through the sky. But he saw the wheel in the middle of the wheel. That's Jesus Christ. See, he saw the church. And that early church went out with the line of the tribe of Judah, among her the word that they was using to combat that. Then when Satan changed his over to the red horse and got off the white and got on the red, God sent forth an ox combat. Down through those early ages, that Catholic Church killed 68 million Protestants. And they just give their life freely. Sometimes maybe you young ones that don't think we're talking rightly or something about the Catholic Church, get the book. If you don't, I'll find you a copy of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read how that they would kill those people, trying to make them believe the Catholic way. There's a copy right there. I just happened to be looking at it this morning on water baptism to prove that through your own encyclopedias or go to a library and check out a book and read it. That they said, will these people be saved? If they believe the Catholic way, they will. But see, that lion when he rode out there, when that white horse rider went out, that lion rode right out to combat that. That Antichrist began moving among the people and becoming greater and stronger. Here was God on this side moving among the peoples, the real true vine. Until the church become to a place that they became the name of the persecutor instead of the one being persecuted.
When Constantine turned over to the church the buildings and all the things that he gave them, first thing you know, that very name church became the persecutor. And under your second rider, your white, your horse, he turned to a red and killed red blood. See, he killed those millions of them. God sent something out to meet that. What? Those people walked right up there. Read that Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. They walked up there so gallant toward their death till even the soldiers that took them in were converted on the way there with them and walked right off into the fire or whatever they was going to kill them with. Their lives so manifested that. I want to preach on something else and I can't keep it away from me. There's got to be a manifested word. Those people manifested that word. Then the next picked up what? Then Brother Branham even tells a very church age, Thyatira was the ox where it started the sacrifice, the beast of burden. Then he picks it up and just keeps on going. Study from 347 on through about 358. And let me just preach to you instead of trying to read so much. You get tired and sleepy doing that. If I holler at you enough, you stay awake. See, then when the man and the man came along under the third combat beast, Satan had changed that thing over on his side until he was ruler of heaven and earth and purgatory through the Pope and the Catholic Church and all. Here come Martin Luther walking out, a little old man now, walking out one day and throwed that down and said, this is not the blood. This is not the body of Jesus Christ when it's taken the communion, because that's what the Catholic Church believe that little round wafer is. They believe that's the literal body of Jesus Christ, that they've had power to change it over into that. As a man made a joke about it, and it's not for a joke, but for a point of illustration, how could you change, how could you pray all 50 years over a piece of bread and make it the body of Jesus Christ? It's plumb stupidity. But yet educated great men and women of this world that are so highly educated that a little guy like me would be a peon, but yet they go in and they believe that that's the body laying there. But a man said one time he was formerly a Jew or something, and he was converted to a Catholic. You know, and the Catholics, they don't eat fish, don't eat meat on Friday. And he took the old priest home with him. When he got the old priest home with him, he forgot about that. And there he had a ham there for the old priest to eat dinner with him on Friday. And the priest said, we can't eat nothing like that on Friday. We got to have fish. So the old feller, he said, well, I tell you what, said, I used to be a Jew or a Protestant or something over there, and said, you sprinkle holy water on me and made me a Catholic. Said, just get a little bit of it and sprinkle it on that ham, make it a fish. Well, that's sensible. He could do it just as easy, couldn't he? As you could take a wafer and pray over it and make it the body. And you eat the wafer and the priest drinks the liquor, the wine. And they call that the communion. But now smart people, educated people believe that. Because they've been taught it from the time they're a baby. They say, give me a Catholic till he's 5 years old and he'll be a Catholic the rest of his life. I say the new birth will change them. But that's the only thing it will. You can't educate them out of it. They'll go back to that thing every time. Sister told me here a few years ago. She said, Brother Dale said, it's so hard for me to keep it in the right channel. She said, I want to reverence the ministry and keep it right. She said, because if I ain't careful in keeping it right, she said, I'll do the same thing we done with the Pope. And she said, I have to watch it. She's a great sister in the Lord. She said, I have to watch it or I do that. See, and reverence a ministry like they reverence the Pope. Look, then in that, when that Luther went out there, that combat beast of the man, go back over in the Old Testament. Pick up where the Israel camped. We've drawn it here many times on the board. When Israel camped, how did they camp? There was 12 tribes and the word right in the middle of it. And they had three here, three here, three here, and three here. They just sat around it. The combat beast. To guard that way of that word. Well, see, then here we are down in the last age now. And the prophet says this is the age of the eagles. Let's see if we can just read that one. 357 is where he starts on the fourth beast to combat it was an eagle.
Last age was an eagle, and God likens the eagle to his prophet. See, watch now. The last age, the eagle age, or revealer of the true word. Before God moves to action like he did in the days of Noah, he sent forth an eagle. When he brought Israel and Pharaoh's army was ready to go, he sent an eagle. Every time he sends an eagle at the end of it. Why? Revealer of the truth, this has been fallen all through the age. So now, so how in the world could the ox or the man or whatever beast was riding, how could it be revealed until the eagles, plural, come? They had their place. They had their godly beast sent just the same as anybody else was. But see, this is the eagle. Everybody out there testifies it's an eagle age. All right, then God likens his prophets to eagles. Brother Branham was a prophet, and he was likened to an eagle. But Jehovah likens himself to an eagle, and he's come down in this day to live in the people. And the world testifies of it. Then the Bible says that he'd renew his youth. You know what? An eagle's the only animal that can renew its youth. Comes to a certain place there in life. It can actually go through a process, and the feathers fall out and the things happen. And it renews its very youth, and it'll come out with a brand new set of wings and things and feathers on him. Well, that's what I want to do, ain't you? I want to renew my youth. Come forth as an eagle and soar the skies. Natural man testifies of it. What's it come in our day that the natural man would testify that you and I are going to heaven one of these days? Things have got to be proved. Natural proves it out there, don't it? We went from the very beginning of, say, 1900. They had, just back prior to then, they started with an automobile. It used to be horse and buggy, didn't it? They started making automobiles. That's just more horsepower. That's why we call it. Your car's got so many horsepower. That's what it's called. See, that's equivalent to so many horses and the power that they could produce and the running and the thing. Coming down through there, something like that, so you can see what I'm talking about. But when it comes down to this, where are we at? Went from that to an airplane, from an airplane to a jet flying in the sky, from that to a rocket that could sail around through the sky, and now what? Interplanetary travel. We're going to get out of here, ain't we? Got to get out of here. It's just about over. You see, that in one of the questions was there. About if that was saying if it were... When will the seventh seal broke? I think it's breaking now. The seventh seal reveals something that's going to happen under all the seals. And if you've caught the way I've been preaching for this last time on the seal, I've preached every one of the seals coming to an end. Take it right down to where it ended at. Take that Antichrist and let him end being an Antichrist and come to a place of being a what? False prophet. Took the false prophet. Let him come to an end, didn't we? What? Till Satan incarnate in the false prophet. Then let that come to an end. Where? Tribulation. Beast. I've been trying to preach to you at the end of each seal. If you've caught that, then the seventh seal is breaking. Brother Branham said it'd be right around the coming of the Lord or whatever happens on earth at that time. That's 575 of the seal book and 577. He said, about the time Jesus appears on the earth. And now listen, what did he say it would be? He said there'd be seven thunders utter their voices right around the time of the coming of the Lord. That's 575. Then listen. One question was, when God leaves the mercy seat, what will happen? 502 of the seal book says he becomes down here. The thunders bring him back to earth because the thunders are the revelations contained in the seventh seal. But the seventh seal ends each one of the other seals. See, as it brings that seal to an end, what have you got? What is a thunder? Read the seal book about 142 and all through there where he says it, a thunder is the voice of God. And they've tried to figure that out. They say, one man said there'd be seven men with thunder. We heard a good seven thunder virtue message the other night, and the man, if you said, told him that's what he's preaching, he'd get mad at you. But he said Paul had a thunder.
He'd get mad if you said that to him and told him that's what he's preaching, the same thing these other brothers preaching with their seventh under virtues. But I can't help that. That's what he said. Sent me a quotation this week, and I intend, the Lord willing, to next chance I have talked with him. I wouldn't have said no more to him, but he sent me a quotation trying to prove his point, so we'll go further. I'll just tell him that he's believing the same thing the virtue people are believing, that Paul had a thunder. Don't believe that. The thunder's under the seventh seal. But the thunder's under the seventh seal and every one of the other seals. What is the thunder? It's the voice of God. What is the voice of God? It's the revelation of God. Now listen, when Brother Branham was standing up there on the Ohio River, I can't prove this, but I'll tell you the people it came from that said what happened. When that light came down up there on the Ohio River in 1933, you remember, a voice went forth and said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, your message will forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ. There was not an audible voice out of the heavens spoke that. Brother Branham's voice spoke it. Brother Branham's voice is what spoke it. Now that's what I've been told. It was not an audible voice out of the clouds. It might have been a thunder out of the clouds. Because in Jesus' time, when he said, glorify thy name, he said, I've glorified and will glorify it again. They that stood by said, it thundered. But he heard a voice. They might have been a blast of thunder on the Ohio River in 1933, but it was Brother Branham's voice, they said, that said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, your message will forerun the second coming. That fits the scripture. God can speak if he wants to. God has a voice. He can talk if he wants to. But that fits it better together for me. That might not for you, but if you want me to, I'll find out where that came from. But just think now. What seal? If those combat beasts coming down now, I read it to you when we started. It's on 345, 346, and 349 that the ages are over on the fourth seal. We read it, 358, or quoted it, there's no more beast when you come to the last one. 360, there's no more left after the eagle. 401, you'll find after the church is gone, see, there's no combat beast. All right, then that combat beast is that church that's here on earth, and when she leaves, there is no more combat beast. Then the fifth seal takes up. There's no combat beast. Proving the rapture has come to the church on the fourth seal. Proving that God has brought his message here to the people. Showing us that you and I are that combat beast. What I want to take up next is one point. Brother Brown said if the church can just see who she is, she'll be gone. Well, then we want proof of who we are. The Baptists, they pick up the Bible and they say, we're the sons of God. I was there long enough to know how we preached it. We told the Bible, said, now we're the sons of God. Not that we will be, we're now the sons of God. The people of this message say, we're the Word. We're the Word now. I'll ask you a question before I come to an end. Where are you at in the Bible? Where are you at in the Bible? Give me the scripture. Call out the scripture to me now where you're at in the Bible. Let's don't start Luke 17:30. Let's don't start Malachi 4. We'll cover all that, how you're there. Let's don't start saying we're this and we're that. We're the seventh church age there. Where are you at in the Bible? Give me the scripture. You say, oh, we're that group of people that says you'll be chained in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. That's prophecy. It ain't happened yet. If it ain't happened yet, That's not the Bible. Now get me right. It's in the Bible, but the Bible's got to be made alive before it's the Word of God. Is that true? You ain't been changed yet, so don't start with scriptures like that. I said, where are you at in the Bible? Give me the scripture. Brother Brown said, we got to find ourselves in the Word. Well, listen, I just covered a lot of this morning. You'll see it when we bring it out, what it is. But the first four seals covers the entire earthly journey of man. Where are we at? We're on the fourth seal, time element-wise. The rapture comes on the revelation of the fourth seal and the time element-wise of the fourth seal. Because the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. The rapture is the going that away. The seventh seal is what brings him here. Then we'll see why you've got a fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. So you got to have them because it takes the mystery of Jesus Christ. But now just think. Fourth chapter, I read it to you, 534 of the seal book. Fourth chapter, fourth seal. As far as the church goes. Time element wise. She goes in the rapture on the fourth chapter because John said, was told to come up. She goes in the rapture on the fourth seal because the fifth seal shows you there is no combat beast. You change to a heavenly scene. Totally away from the earth. What you're dealing with, the earthly journey, has got to be covered in the first four seals. The souls under the altar, under the fifth seal, are redeemed under the fourth. The sixth seal being the tribulation period, that happens under the time of the fourth. The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, happens under the time of the fourth. So time element wise, you only go four seals. When God leaves that mercy seat, he becomes down here. Redemption's over then. There's a move going on now. There's people coming in now. I beg you, think about yourself. Because when the door closes, Judas Iscariot had a change. He didn't have to do what he done. Until the very minute the devil entered into him and he went out and betrayed Jesus, he had a change just like the rest of them. But there come a time that he couldn't even find repentance when it was sought. Esau sought repentance with tears, but he'd send away his day of grace, hadn't he? And he couldn't find it. You can send away your day of grace. I can send mine away. The fifth seal shows you the greatest revelation of grace that's ever been in the world. I want to get there and preach on it. Because a group of people that do not even want to be saved are given eternal life. The greatest revelation of grace that's ever been anywhere in the world. They don't even want it. They killed him. They crucified the very Messiah. And he gives them eternal life. You say, oh, I sought after God and I done it. You ain't sought God at all. God saves you by grace, not by your seeking him. Don't think you can seek him and find him. You can't. Just stop running. Just stop right where you're at and say, Lord, here I am. Because when that lamb leaves that mercy seat, when God leaves the throne of mercy, when he gets up off the throne and comes down here, redemption's over. You can cry all you want to, then you'll never find it. Because when he leaves that mercy seat, it's over with. There'll never be another Gentile saved when he leaves that mercy seat and comes down here. There'll be no more hope. That hour has to be close. It's none of my business or yours either, who can be saved and who can't. But that hour has to be close. It's one day closer than it was yesterday. It's almost 20 years closer than it was when the prophet preached the seals.
And that's what he said in the seal book. He said, when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, he becomes down here. Redemption then is over. That's 502 of the seal book when you read it when you get home. What does he do when he leaves the mercy seat? He becomes down here, right here with us. There's no more redemption then. God and his bride becomes one. And you can cry then all you want to and seek God and you'll never find him. What seal are we under? The fourth seal, time element wise. That's where we're at. Fourth seal, time element wise. Then the questions, all of them but one, how can the seal help us, is answered right in the message. These are the questions. When will the seventh seal be revealed to us? I believe it's being revealed right now. I said being. It's a process, something going on. Are we under a seal? What seal? We're under the fourth seal, time element wise. Because as far as you go in earthly journey. How can the seals help us? We'll take that up in the next message. When God leaves the mercy seat, what will happen? Redemption's over then. And he becomes down here with his church. There'll be nobody on the throne for any mercy for us. It'll be over with and he'll go to Israel. Church goes in the rapture, he goes on to Israel then. Because he just comes down here for us, sends us up, and goes right on to Israel. So is that showing you? I don't know what else God could do. I don't know what else God could do. I was discussing something this week with some brothers at work. Everybody wants signs. They want a sign to see whether or not you're called of God. I have given my sign this day. I've tried to preach the word. If you don't believe that, I'm kind of a funny feller. I like for you to take my word. I life and cut up a lot, but I like for you to take my word. As I said about Brother Colley the other day, I've trusted him. I believe him. He's been with me a long time. I've become to the place I can trust his word. If he told me right now to move as a snake behind me or a man with a gun, and I couldn't prove no way in the world there's a man back there, and I've been standing here looking both ways, and there ain't no way nobody could get in here, if Brother Colley said there's a man behind you with a gun right now, I'd leave. Brother Branham, you remember on the film, one of them, he said, after God doing all this, he said, if I was God and you didn't believe my word, I'd forget it. I'm truthful. I try to believe God's word. I don't have to have signs to whether I can believe Brother Hansis tonight, whether he's going to preach the truth or not. I'll check what he says by the word. He don't have to give me a sign. That's fine if the Lord wants to do it, but he don't have to give me one. I'll check what he says by the word, and then I'll believe it. See, when it fits the word, you can believe it. You're putting a cart before the horse. The prophet said, I wish I'd have never used on, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. He said, I wish I'd have never used them signs. He said, it just caused a generation of sign seekers. And they're still here today. Where's your sign that God is using you? You show me where I've ever twisted Brother Branham's message. That's my sign. You show me where I'm off the word. As Jesus stood one day and said, who can condemn me of sin? Brother Brown said, that dehorned him right there. I stand this day. Now, I've made a lot of mistakes and things. I've missed a lot of things. But I stand this day with an open heart of saying, come and show me where I've missed the message. I can bring out, as I said to the brothers coming down the road the other day from the minister's meeting, I said, it sure is funny that after all these years, I could make that statement and say, come show me where I've changed my message. Other than growing in grace and knowledge, you show me where I've changed my message from the time I started in 1971. But come and I'll show them where they've changed theirs. I've got a pretty good memory on that. I can remember pretty good on that. Maybe the devil helps me, but that's a pretty good memory on that to tell these brothers where they changed their doctrine at. But you won't show from those tapes back there other than corrections I made of my own. Well, then that leaves that, don't it? No more can be added or said or whatever. Let's stand together. Number 91, Blessed Redeemer. Let's just sing number 90, Standing on the Promises. I don't say that to be anything other than just truthful. You think I say it to try to do this? I kind of consider things if I was you. Small congregation like this, I don't think I'd be trying to find a following. You know? I don't think I'd be trying to convince anybody to come. As small as our group is, now if I had about 10,000 following me, I mean, you might consider that. I'm just trying to be honest with me and you. God is here. He'll give you the very desires of your heart if you'll believe Him. But if you won't believe Him, I don't blame Him. I don't blame Him at all. But if you'll believe God, He'll come on the scene. If you'll just seek after God and receive Him, He'll come to you. You say, I'd like to have a sign to see that. What does the Bible say? Jews seek a sign, Greeks seek wisdom, or what is it, vice versa? One of them. What does the Bible say about signs? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And they shall receive it. I'm not getting exactly quoting Scripture right. But what was the sign? And the sign they'll receive is the sign of Jonah, the resurrection. That's the word. Without it, there's no resurrection. So the sign I'm seeking after is watch a man what he says by the word. Watch what he does with the prophet's message. Then I can see whether he's right or not. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout. You think about it now. Do you know where you're at? Then Jesus, the Word, He'll tell us where we're at. Then we don't have to worry. We can ask Him a question. He'll give us an answer. He'll answer all of our questions. I even read this week, a man said I wrote to Billy Graham. He said, I've worried about it. I asked God too many questions. I've worried that I pray too much to Him and ask Him about things. Billy Graham said, don't you worry. He's concerned, quoting Scripture, how that He's concerned with your least desire. He said, you don't trouble Him too much. Now let me put my thoughts on the end of that. You don't trouble Him enough. If we just ask Him for every move, we'd find out a lot of moves wouldn't be made. Brother Dick, the other day at work, he started to go to a certain place, and he said something just seemed to him. He said, don't go that way. He said he thought, well, something telling me not to go that way, but that's the shortest way or something, to go and the easiest way. So he just turned and went that way. When he got down there was a police officer pulled him over and said, let's see your insurance card. I ain't got it. $25 fine now if you ain't got your insurance card in your pocket or in your vehicle for that vehicle. See, if he'd listened to the voice, maybe he'd have turned and went the other way. Could have been God, it could have been the devil, but now I always just leave it and say, well, I think the devil, he's pretty good, but he'll always have a trick in the end of his. So I can catch him that way. But what do you have need of? I challenge you, church. What do you have need of? Believe God and you'll receive it. Accept it. If He done through the ages as He's done, then will not He come in the end time and you and I are here to rapture the church? Will not He come and back His word up now? I believe He'll do it.
man said the other day, he said, we hardly have faith for divine healing. Well, that's a good quotation. But I've seen churches where people had faith. Amen. Hadn't you? Brother Anderson tell another day, when the man asked that about that, Brother Anderson tell another day that there was a little girl up there at the church that they go to that had something wrong with her hands, and the doctors had give up, said they couldn't do nothing. They prayed for her that night. The next day, all of that what was wrong with her fingers just peeled totally off. She's growing brand new skin, everything just perfectly healed. Little 5, 6, 7-year-old kid. God will do it. If you'll believe Him, He'll answer your question if you'll believe Him. I believe that, don't you? Anyone has a need now as we sing the last verse? Not then the service will be ended. Standing on the promises I can not fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. We're down at the end. Don't meet Him with just your thoughts. Don't meet Him with just, yeah, I believe this message. He's coming after Himself. Jesus is here to gather His church. I'm standing on the promise of God. Appreciate each one of you being out. Remember to pray this afternoon for Brother Hantus to be speaking for us tonight. Pray one for another. The ministers meet, and the Lord willing will be here the third Saturday of March. I guess tomorrow's probably the first day, but it'll be the third Saturday of March. Remember to announce it to the brothers. And the topic will be on the seals. Brother Hantus and myself are supposed to speak this time. So we'll just pray one for another, and just appreciate each one of you. Anything to be said before we dismiss? If not, Father, we ask You that You would just be with each one as we go our separate ways, knowing that this hour that we live in is the most treacherous of all, but believing in the blood of our Lord and Savior that keeps us covered better than it did for the blood of bulls and goats to be gathered around Job there. Then we believe that You will guide each one of us. Thank You, Father, for the questions that were asked. But most of all, thank You that the thoughts were upon our heart to the very answer of the question before we ever got to the question. We believe You're working among us. We believe that You're guiding us. Lead us by Your Spirit. Take care of the people on the highways. Give them their physical and spiritual needs. Bless the sick. Lord, reach down and touch Sister Mo. Deliver her from this affliction of the body. We just commit everything into Your hand. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus. Be here.